These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cam in Taunton on Bruins. Go ahead, Cam.
Two things starting to aggravate me to see him. A, does this team do film review? Like, do they, like, hey, when you're going to clear the puck and you, like, go off the glass, or something, like, yeah, you're going up the boards, it's not working. Have you not realized that? Yeah. Not working. They're getting their sticks in the way and turning and taking the puck back. And also, I know the Bruins are getting waved out of faceoffs more than the Lightning are, but do the Bruins wingers practice faceoffs at all? Because every time this Bruins center gets waved out of the faceoff, they lose the faceoff. At least sometimes when the Lightning center gets thrown out, they win it. The Bruins wingers never do. Also, on a lineup, I think it's time to possibly dress 7D, put Holden in, and mix and match him and Krug with Miller. What do you guys think of that?
You know, I've never minded the 7D thought, especially when you have a guy like Torrey Krug. It's not a horrible idea. Especially if you've got a forward like Backes, who played 6 minutes, or Heinen, who played 8 minutes. You know, what's the point? Is there more value there in having Krug for offensive situations? You need a goal, offensive zone faceoffs, power plays, obviously. And then if you're protecting a goal lead in the third, he's on the bench.
I don't mind that either. I just think they got to change the way they're thinking, typically. And that's no easy trick, right? They're sort of, they've been built a certain way here now and coached a certain way. I just think that they got to alter that. They got to get more stout in their own zone.
This thing about Tampa being all over you on your breakout, so true. You have no answer getting the puck out of your own zone. None. And it was a problem against Toronto, but that's really more about you just being shaky as opposed to them sniffing you out. Tampa sniffed you out. Tampa, they have their forecheck.
Yeah. Initially, I thought it was, oh, maybe they're being too sloppy, and they have been. But last night really proved. They look up, and they're there. Like, their speed is so ridiculous.
Speed is there, and they know what you're doing, and there has to be an adjustment there. It's right. Tony and Weymouth, go.
Sir, it's Cassidy. Cassidy's made three major mistakes, and one of them's by happenstance, and two of them are just bad decisions. And it's causing our team big time. One of them is Danton Heinen. He's what's making Backes look so bad, because Danton Heinen is so soft. He gets down on the forecheck and he won't touch anybody. Riley Nash is a grinder. He's a third liner. Backes is a grinder. He's a third liner. You need your other third liner to get down there and play physical hockey, and the kid is soft. He's got to sit down. He's got to.
Okay. Heinen, it'd be one thing if he were offensive. I mean, I don't see him do anything. Like, that's the whole thing. I just don't notice Danton Heinen on the ice. I don't. Billy in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Hi, Billy.
How you doing? Just a quick comment on baseball in general. We talk about hitters, home runs, where they rank, season, after postseason, so forth. What I think about baseball is this. Those guys all go through their hot spells and then they cool down. Then they reach pitches that are hot and the cold on the other end. But when you get to the playoffs, usually you're up against the toughest pitchers going. And obviously they're not going to be hitting home runs off these guys left and right. It just doesn't happen. Reggie Jackson, that's a different breed. Now start comparing these guys to Jackson. Look it up. I don't have the information in front of me.
So
but
Billy,
those
Billy,
guys
Billy.
Came across in the...
Billy, what Billy's saying is you can't hold it against Mookie Betts that he has no homers in the postseason because he's going up against the best of the best, and that's what everybody does.
Yeah, I just think – so no one should hit home runs in the postseason then.
Well,
I mean, how is it that Derek Jeter's numbers are better in the playoffs than they were in the regular season?
You know, we've looked at this a lot in the past. He's one of the few. Most everyone's numbers go down in the postseason.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you that the really great players
– Right, okay, but
– Yeah, listen, they're going to go down. I'm not telling you that. Of course, but I'm telling you that in the case of Betts, there's a clear reason. There is a clear reason. And that is, and I'm not telling you I don't want him as a player. I do. I want Mookie Betts as a player. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, if I'm on the other team, when he comes up and I pitch him carefully, if I pitch him right, he's not going to beat me.
Tony and Holbrook, what do you got for me on the Bruins?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Two quick comments. Do the Bruins realize that you have to shoot the puck on the net in order to try and make a goal?
I so agree with you. They miss the net too often. They miss the net too often. Next point.
And also, any chance that Tuukka Rask takes a seat, sometimes I just think he's not on top of his game.
Not the issue. Goaltending, not a non-issue in this series other than Vasilevskiy sucking. Honestly, Tuukka's been fine. I mean, I don't think he was... I mean, could he have made a spectacular save early last night and sort of turned the tide, I guess, but I'm not going to get on him for it. None of those goals were his fault, and he made a few amazing plays in the first period to even keep it a two or three, you know, one or two goal game. Maz and I were talking about the one point, or excuse me, Palat could have had a hat trick, and there was this trickling puck that was going behind Tuukka that was going to go right to Palat for the easy empty net hat trick, and Rask with his stick reached behind him and deflected the puck away from him. I just saw it was such an incredible play by Rask. You remember the
one? Oh, it was an unbelievable play. It's ridiculous. Again, you know, he just kind of sticks his paddle back there to sort of like see if he can cover it. He deflected the puck and Palat missed it. I mean, it was an unbelievable play. If they win that game 4-3 instead of losing it, we're looking at that. So that was a fabulous play.
Goaltending, not the issue. Missed shots. I think this is right. You know, I'm looking at my game sheet from last night. I believe the Bruins had 17 missed shots.
You are correct. I looked it up earlier today.
Okay, so there's 17 missed shots. Does that include shots that were blocked by Tampa?
No.
It's just 17 shots that missed the net.
Right. Attempted that were blocked were 19. They had 36 shots that were blocked or missed the net. 19 that were attempted and
right,
blocked.
Right, I got it. I see it.
Yep, 17 that missed the net.
That is pathetic.
It is.
That is pathetic.
It is.
Hit the freaking net.
See, but again, I think Tampa has something to do with this.
A little bit.
Because they're blocking all the lanes.
Okay, but I remember a couple early from Pastrnak, a couple from these guys. It's like, you're coming down on a 2-on-1. Hit the effing net. Hit the net. Make Vasilevskiy make a save. I think Vasilevskiy's a really good young goalie, but maybe he's not quite ready. You know, who knows? Where he certainly let up a couple softies in those first two games in Tampa. Put it on net. And it wasn't Tony and Newton, Maz.
Alex.
Alex and Newton. Alex, what do you got for Maz today? You see what he's doing? He's running out of real estate, Alex.
He sure is. And, Maz, I appreciate that you couldn't think of my name, so you chose your name to call me Tony and Newton.
I got you mixed up with Tony and Stoneham, but go ahead.
That's fine. Nothing personal. This phone call will be a little less petty. I do hear your argument about Mookie not playing well in the playoffs, but is that what you're going to do after each time he has multi-home run games? I certainly hope not. Regarding the playoff sample size, yes, that's not great. No home runs, no RBI, not great. But in the same way you're not ready to close the book on J.D. Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton, and I understand that. It's only been a month. Well, we certainly can't close the book on Mookie in 7 playoff games. So
agreed.
You kind of have to, you just got to be consistent there with that. I think it'll come around. Obviously, the first year, they all crap their pants that first year in the playoffs. And then just the notion of him not wanting to be here, you really only can say that because of him taking them to arbitration, where wouldn't you have done the same thing? I don't think we know yet that he doesn't want to be here. I just think he knew, I can get more money, so I'm going to go get more money. I think it's really important that he's surrounded by people he came up with in the minor league. I think
that'll be huge
in... Yeah, go ahead.
You have no idea about that. Has he ever said that? I mean, you're just totally coming up with that one. I'm not signing. I'm not going to arbitration. I'm not going to sign your extension. Didn't even bust their balls on, like, an exclusive right.
Yeah, his first contract.
Which was like a nothing thing, right?
Right. Yep. The team has a, you know, when before you're eligible for arbitration, the team can do what is called renewing you, which means that you can't come to terms on even a $50,000 raise. Okay, you can't even come to terms on that. And so the team says, well, we're going to pay you what you want. You don't have a choice. And they renew you. Okay? In the case of Mookie, they renewed him at $950,000, which for a player of his service time at the time was a very high number. But the point is, he wouldn't even agree on that.
He just had to take it.
Like, he had to take it. Most guys agree, fine, I'll take the $75,000 raise. I'll take the $100,000 raise. They come up with a list of comparable players 1 year into their careers. And they settle. In the case of the Red Sox, they gave him a very big number. They bumped him up to $950,000, which for a guy of that age
is
a lot of dough. And he wouldn't sign it. He wouldn't sign it. So, you know, this tells me, it's like, it feels to me like every time he sits down with them at the negotiating table, he gives them the finger. I mean, I don't know any other way to look at it. And so I hope he stays. I would love to see them give him a big contract. I told you last year, I'd have given him 8 years and $200 million. They offered him 5 and 100. Not even close.
Bruins, Red Sox, and we'll start to get to the Celtics next. And are you, and I'm talking to you, Green Teamer, I'm talking to you, Celtic fan, are you doing to Terry Rozier what you have done to so many others here over the last couple of years? Are you? Are we doing the same thing again And now it's just a Terry Rozier. We get to that right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
Gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Bass.
Who cares?
Felger and Bass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Embiid against Baines. At the elbow, takes the jumper over him and hits it.
Think about it, boy. He just gets in that little pocket, and he can knock down that jump shot with ease.
Horford turns on Bellinelli, attacks the paint, two-hand slam, and Al Horford just knocking Sixers all over the place.
It should have been a foul on Al Horford, but hey, they're letting him play.
Simmons inbound, Embiid turns on Smart, launches the three. It was a hope shot, no good, and that'll do it. Marcus Smart got hit again on that hand, and he is hurting. What is left? The Celtics already without Jaylen Brown, and now Marcus Smart looks like he has re-injured himself late in this second quarter. Rozier attacks it to the corner. It's going to be Baines for three, and he got another one.
The big fella knocking them down.
Aaron Baines has now made more threes in 9 playoff games than he made all year. Rebound Horford, lobs it ahead to Tatum. He'll catch up to it, field it on one hop and throw it down with the right hand. And the Celtics come out of the timeout with back-to-back buckets to push it back to 14. Horford straightaway three, got it. I mean, it is ridiculous how well Al Horford is playing so far in the playoffs.
Embiid out there a little late to the play.
Morris pulls up 18-footer, no good. Smart. In traffic, offensive rebound, knocked to the ground as he reverses it up and in.
Yeah, somebody give me a Cheeto sandwich.
He doesn't need two hands. He doesn't need 10 fingers. Marcus Smart is going to make Marcus Smart plays.
I mean, that's against Embiid, the big 7-footer. Compete, young man, just compete.
Goes here, driving on Simmons, falls away off the wrong foot and knocks it down from the free throw line.
Somebody go get some sandwiches and some light bread, because this puppy is over.
We have to clean up quite a bit. They exposed us in a lot of areas. Credit them for that. They run great stuff, and it's hard to guard all those guys and all those actions.
That was a look back there at Game 1, Celtics-Sixers. Game 2 tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Late start, 8:30. Pregame starts at 8 with Grandy and Max. Thoughts on this series and this game tonight, Maz?
Well, I want to see how Philly reacts to game one. To me, that because there were some things that were done in that game that were perplexing. Frankly, on the defensive end, J.J. Redick guarding Jason Tatum. Like, really? So I think Philly's got, though, some problems in this series. One of them is they get all these shooters that they put around Simmons, but most of them are defensive liabilities. So how are they going to cover that up on that end of the floor? They're not going to be able to guard all these guys, I don't think. So I think the Celtics might be able to score some points depending if they go to the right matchup. Secondly, at the other end, the Celtics' strategy was clear. Guard the shooters. You want to get twos with Embiid and you want Simmons to penetrate and go into the paint? Fine. Simmons wants to pass anyway. How do you change that? And, I mean, one of the things you could do is try to get the ball out of Simmons' hands and let someone else run the offense, maybe, you know, run it through someone else. I don't know. I just don't know that they have that kind of guy. They don't really have a backup point guard. I mean, Fultz doesn't play. McConnell doesn't get on the floor a lot. Like, I think there were some matchup problems in this series for Philadelphia.
And for me, I just hate the thought now. It felt like yesterday Jaylen Brown was not going to play tonight, and now there's talk from Brad Stevens this morning that he may come off the bench and play limited minutes. I hate the thought of that. You got to save the player from himself right now. Save him for later in this series. A hamstring injury like this? I mean, initially it was like, this is a two-week injury. Are they giving in to the player? Because that's what it feels like. He should not see any action tonight.
They got to win in this building.
Why do you say that? I mean, beyond the obvious of the nature of the NBA playoffs.
Well, okay. Because,
you mean the Sixers?
No, I mean the Celtics. Oh. The Celtics need to win in this building. And I articulated this, even for me, exceptionally poorly yesterday, which is saying something. Okay, the Celtics, Philly has a better chance of winning in this building than the Celtics do down there.
Say that again. The Sixers have a better chance of winning here than the, why?
Because I just don't think the Celtics have the horses to win on the road. I don't. And I think that there's a chance they go down there and they get their asses kicked, akin to like the first game in Milwaukee. Like, I think you're going to see something like that. And I just don't believe in a lot of these guys' ability to play on the road yet. I don't. They may get there, but they're not there now. Horford, you know, even Horford cracks a little on the road, but he's a veteran guy. I have some faith there. I have faith in Marcus Morris a little bit, but that's not enough. The other guys, Rozier, Tatum, Brown, if he plays, they all suck on the road.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because this is my Celtics itch to scratch of the day. And that is the Terry Rozier thing that has been percolating here and developing in Celtic Nation over the last days and weeks. Terry Rozier. Is Terry Rozier the next Avery Bradley, the next Jay Crowder, the next Isaiah Thomas, the next Rajon Rondo, the next Al Jefferson, the next Kelly Olynyk, the next Evan Turner, the next Greg Steen, name it. The next Celtic also-ran who goes on some sort of run and puts up a few good games in the playoffs or just has a good year and you people pump up into that next great thing. And he's not that. Is this the next guy that you're going to do this to?
I mean, he already does have the cute nickname, Mike.
What is it?
Scary Terry.
Whatever.
They're selling T-shirts. It's King of the Fourth.
With the little ghost mask thing or whatever the hell you call that.
So, you know, I read this. I subscribed to Bedard's Boston Sports Journal. Our friend B-Rob writes for Boston Sports Journal. This was a headline on his story this morning or yesterday, whenever this was. The Sixers might not have an answer for Terry Rozier and other leftover thoughts from Game 1. Now he's a player that you have no answer for.
Yeah.
Now, that's different than saying what you just said, which is Sixers might have some matchup problems, right? Now Terry Rozier is a player that you have no answer for. There's no answer for Terry Rozier.
No. He's like the riddle of the Sphinx.
It is so predictable, you people. It's cute. I mean, it is cute what you do. All of you. Even like the so-called smart basketball people in this town. You fall in love with your players like I've never seen, to the point where you love them all and you overrate them all, which is like so different than like a Bruins fan. And like I approach the Bruins and like in a lot of like I think everyone on the Bruins sucks and is overrated. Like I do. And it takes so much for me to think that he's actually good and going to be good. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of the Bruins approach. You look at that team and go like they all kind of suck. And anyone who's any good, Chara, overrated, Rask, overrated. Like, that's how we view the Bruins.
Yeah, it's called Felgerizing the roster.
But the Celtics fan, it's like Terry Rozier has a good playoff game. It's like, we can't get rid of him. He's the next thing. What, you know, Kyrie, you really got to look at how valuable Kyrie is when you've got Terry Rozier and it's the next thing. It's the next guy. How many guys have you done this to me with? You did this to me with Avery Bradley. Where the hell is Avery Bradley right now?
He got injured. He was on Detroit.
He got traded somewhere else.
Oh, that's right.
Clippers.
I think he went to the Clippers.
He's nowhere. He leaves Clippers. Here and he's nothing and goes no. But he's what I mean, Stu, is he's proverbially nowhere.
Right, figuratively.
You don't know. He like poof vanishes off the face of the earth. Is Evan Turner still with Portland?
Yep.
Yeah.
That crazy contract.
$17 million per year.
Does he do anything?
No.
He's
a sixth man.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, you didn't like that answer.
Jay Crowder, where did he go?
Utah.
He ended up with Utah. Yeah,
he's actually been pretty good.
He's had a good postseason.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he doing something?
Yeah,
but it's like
he's helping them.
But like, you know, Jay Crowder.
Best contract in the NBA.
Right, exactly, Stu. Jay Crowder, you know, plays a nice role here. He's a decent little role player. And you get guys like Dakota and Braintree. Michael. You don't understand Jay Crowder and the value he brings to a basketball team. Like, all of a sudden, Jay Crowder is like this super untradeable, undealable asset that you just can't get in the league. And then he's traded, and like, where is he? You don't even know. So he's in Utah, and maybe doing something. You people will chant MVP at Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, MVP, and you all did it. Don't you feel foolish?
How's that Brinks truck looking for him?
Wouldn't that lead you to stop doing this when you chant MVP at Isaiah Thomas? And then wouldn't you say the next time, we're just going to keep it in our pants a little bit. We're just going to, the next time someone flashes, we're not going to make them Tiny Archibald. Okay, we're just going to keep it in our pants. But no. All of a sudden, Terry Rozier scores 26 points in a playoff game or 29 points in a playoff game at home. And it's like, oh, my God, how do we keep Terry Rozier? What are we going to do with Terry Rozier? B-Rob, the Sixers have no answer for Terry. Who is it? Who are we talking about? You have no answer for Terry Rozier?
He's tough off the dribble.
Okay, so you know what I mean. Like, you're
Of course, I'm doing you.
Wait, remember? Do you remember all the crap we had blown up our butts about Rajon Rondo, top three point guard? I think it's Chris Paul, Westbrook, then Rondo's in there. He's next, Felger. You don't know the game. Why don't you guys watch the game? Huh? Why don't you guys watch it? If you don't think Rajon Rondo is a top three point guard in this league, then you guys just go back to hockey, puckhead. Like, you had year after year with Rajon Rondo. Has he been on like eight teams since then? And I know he's playoff Rondo right now with New Orleans. Like, I get it. But was Rajon Rondo ever in your wildest, moistest dream a top three point guard in the NBA?
No.
All right. So you did that to me, though. Al Jefferson. We can't trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett, Tommy.
Do we have sound of that yet?
Oh, my God. You do it routinely. You do it routinely. Why? Why? Why do you keep doing it? When a young Bruins player flashes, you know what most Bruins fans, at least I and most Bruins fans, say?
Keep it in your pants.
He's going to crap the bed the next game. There's no way he's doing that again, because you know why? He actually sucks. But the Celtic fan, like, one or two good games, and it's, now I'm being fed Terry Rozier. How are the Sixers may not have an answer for Terry Rozier. You know what? Can I give the Sixers the answer for Terry Rozier?
Sure.
Wait. Just wait. Wait. Go home. Go home. Where Terry Rozier has not been able to duplicate, not even close, what he's done at home. So just wait. That's my answer for Terry Rozier. Be patient. Be patient. At some point, he'll be Terry Rozier again. I'm sorry. I sort of lost my mind on that. But it's like,
that was entertaining.
But it's happening again. It's happening again. Felger and
Mazz. Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mazz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
And some dumb team out there thinks he's actually really good, and you can peddle him and be pump and dump like you did with Bradley, Crowder, Isaiah, Kelly Olynyk, well, who's a free agent, either way, Al Jefferson, Rajon Rondo, on and on and on.
That's my hope. I mean, he's an RFA in 2019, so sell high.
Sell high.
Trade. See if you can get a young player under team control and a draft pick. Like,
not just that. I mean, if you're still swinging for the fences for that next big fish.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Make Rozier a centerpiece. And keep Marcus Smart, who's going to be cheaper, and I think at the end of the day, more valuable for you. I still think Marcus Smart's more valuable.
Okay, but are you suggesting that this guy can't be a valuable bench player on a championship team?
Sure.
But you're going to have to pick between him and Marcus, and I'm with Mike. I'm team Marcus.
No, sure, meaning he can be.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Because you're saying pump and dump as if he's got no use to you at all.
I mean, no, but I think he's Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Al Jefferson, Rajon Rondo. You're overrating him again. Again. You're doing it again. And not that he's exactly like all those players, but you know what I mean. It's someone that you are overrating. It didn't take much. On the road, he sucked. I mean, you understand, he went to Milwaukee and took a dump on the floor of the Bradley Center a couple of times this postseason. So, like, I mean,
and as a straight-up defensive liability at times, too. At least it was in that series.
I mean, don't you want to see him do something in a road game?
No. To me, this is why I'm worried about the games in Philly. It's not just him. It's all of them, really. I just don't think they have what it takes. Not only the numbers, watch Rozier in that last game in Milwaukee. He was missing by a mile. He wasn't even close. Some balls were barely touching the rim. Others were missing him entirely. He was forcing shots up at bad times, as they all were, but it was ugly.
Okay, here's Joel in the car. Hi, Joel.
Hey, Mike. Going to get into this real quick. So the one thing, I'll agree with you, I think green teamers definitely do idolize some of these guys, but I got to get on Mazz a little bit. He's always talking about how coaching doesn't matter in the NBA, and I can't agree with you on that point. I mean, just look at...
Can I just say something? Because everyone says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter relatively speaking. It matters. It doesn't matter nearly as much as the players you have. Not even close, okay? But it matters. It matters a little, Joel. It matters a little.
It helps a lot in building a team. That's for sure. Making these guys assets like you were just talking about and being able to trade for them keeping a competitive team while you don't have the players that you're talking about, you know?
I think that's a good point. I'll give Stevens a lot of credit for that. That
during the regular season.
During the regular season, which is when a player built his value. And, I mean, certainly it helps in the postseason, too. But, you know, you could say that Brad Stevens got the most out of Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a superstar. And because of that, you're able to get Kyrie Irving, a real player, who will thus make the coach irrelevant. But I think that first piece you're talking about is true, and I'll give Stevens a lot of credit for that, for taking B-level players and getting A-minus production out of them to the point where you get a stupid team across the league to say, hey, that guy can actually really play when he's, you know, just a guy. And so, yep, Stevens has done that for you, for sure.
Yes, so I'll tell you what, let's put it in these terms. Who's the last NBA team to win a championship because of the coach?
I can't think of one.
Same.
Zero. The last?
Because it doesn't exist.
It's never existed.
Whereas if you were to say to me in football, I could give you a couple.
You bet.
Right? So I just think that, now again, it doesn't mean the coaching's a zero, but it's just in that league, that's not how you win. You got to have the horses.
Okay. Either way, South Sixers tonight. An old Celtic is picking the Sixers in five. We'll give you that sound, and we'll get back to your calls. A lot of Bruins people still on the board, Red Sox people on the board, I promise. Right to you in our long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Well, first, the three-point line. I mean, you don't put the Celtics on making 17 threes. They make 17 threes and obviously dominate from the three-point line. But then the effort and energy that they played with last night was second to none. Looked like a team that just played a seven-game series. They looked fresh, ready to go, out of playing basketball. Don't want to make excuses for Philly because Boston played so well. But when you sit for 6 days, mm-hmm. you don't play. You got a young group that's never been in this position before, don't understand the magnitude of a second round of a playoffs. They got smacked in the face. I'm a Boston guy. I love the Celtics. That's my old team. I look at it as my second home. But Philly will win this in five.
Oh, in five?
Yeah, they'll get this done.
Wow.
They'll get this done in five. I just think this is a wake-up call for them. They're more talented. They can shoot the three ball. They don't have to hit the threes to win. You can't give Joel Embiid 30 points and think you're going to win.
Right.
They're not going to lose too many games like that. And they're not going to shoot as bad as they did from the three-point line the way they did. I think Boston's too hurt. Jaylen Brown, when he does come back, is not going to be 100%. I don't think they have enough. I mean, they made shots last night. They fed off the energy from game seven. I think now Philly has 2 days to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make the proper adjustments. And Boston can't win in Philly. Philly's one of those places just like Boston. They're just very tough to play. The fans are going to be on you, and they play great in that building. They remind me, they're starting to get that crowd like Golden State had a couple years ago, where it was just an intimidating place to play. So I like Philly to win the next four games.
You want
to
place a bet? I think Antoine is where I would take my cues. There's no question about it.
He knows the numbers.
I'm telling you.
No two ways about that.
You want advice on where to put your dollar? Go to Antoine Walker, baby. Sixers in five, says Antoine Walker. That's not really worth comment, so we'll go right to the phones as promised. Again, Bruins, Red Sox, and now the Celtics leading up into game two tonight here on 98.5 The Sports. Brendan and Lowell on the Bees, though. Lead us off. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, I don't know what Anton's talking about. That's one of the most asinine takes I've ever heard. But to my take now, Mike, question for you before I give you some numbers. What would you say is the most important characteristic of a cup contending team, in your opinion?
A skill, will, and goaltending is what I've always said.
Well,
skill, will, and goaltending. You've got to have it all.
Okay. Well, what I would say, if you look at the numbers going back to the last two times the Bruins contended, 2011 and 2013, the biggest difference between those two teams, the third line. People don't remember, when they think of 2011, they just think Timmy Thomas won us the cup, which is true, but they most likely don't win that cup without the play of the third line. Michael Ryder, 17 points, tied.
I got it. Chris Kelly and Peverly. Quickly, Brendan. So what are you saying? This Bruins depth third line just doesn't cut it.
I'm saying that if this third line can't figure it out, we're probably going to have what happened in 2013. Certainly, the high glass line. They probably win that cup if the third line is better. It's very difficult to win a cup without a third line.
Okay, see, I don't agree with you. Thank you for the call. I don't mean to cut you off, but we can't go on and on about the third line. I don't think that's the key to the cup. I think you need good goaltending. I think you got to have a lot of skill, and I think you got to be able to play hard and play heavy and when you have leads, play tough. And I think that you want to know a team that has it all is Tampa. They know how to play. They have tremendous skill, and their goaltender is, I think, more than good enough and getting better. I don't know if you do. I don't know if you have the goaltending. You might. It's close.
Do you think the Bruins are heavy enough?
But I don't know if they're even heavy enough. I don't know if they're heavy enough. Depth is... Sometimes you win with depth, sometimes you don't. I'll give you plenty of NHL teams that went really, really, really far without a lot of depth. You want to have it. I mean, you can't suck in too many places, but I would not put depth up that high. I really wouldn't. Certainly not on the third line.
I mean, to me, where I'd like to be deep is on D. And so I just think that this is now a series.
Definitely.
Where you know, if you are the Bruins, I think Tampa has made it clear in these two games that if they are ahead, they will absolutely snuff the life out of
them. Look, whether you say it's the key or not, this I do know. Your third line has sucked. It has sucked. Backes looks like a dinosaur. Like, he can't move out there. And Heinen, to me, is just invisible too often, to the point where he might get benched in this next game. We've got Mike in Medford. What do you got for me? Michael.
Hello.
Yes, Mike, you're on the air. Please go.
Hey, Felger, real quick. I hope everybody's appreciating Pasternak and DeBrusk coming out party, these young guys. And they need to get Donato in there. Secondly, real quick, Maz, what are you talking about? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. DeBrusk and Pasternak's coming out party. Did they play last night? Because I don't remember seeing those two particular players.
Yeah, but again, I'll say the same thing. I don't remember seeing any of them, really. I mean, how many
guys? Pasternak didn't have a shot on net.
Yeah, how many guys did? See, to me, this is why it was about Tampa last night. I look at Tampa getting that lead, and I say, they snuffed you out. Forget it. You had no chance. They smothered you. And so if they get the lead, forget it. The Bruins, they've got to alter it here. They can't give up the first goal, and so they're going to have to play the game the way that Tampa played it. They have to play early like Tampa played late last night.
Isco and Waltham on the Celtics. Go ahead, Isco.
Felger, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Isco.
So my hypothetical for you is, so you're saying coaching is quite relative in the NBA, which you're entitled to that opinion, but my thing is, what if we still had Doc Rivers as our coach, and then we had this group of players in the playoffs without Irving and Hayward?
I think you'd be relatively where you are.
Really?
I do. I think you'd beat the Bucks. You'd probably win your home games, and you'd be right where you are.
So how come you couldn't take his group of Clippers past, like, the second round? And...
So I can't relate it to out there.
Because the West is better. That's why.
You know, who they played and what. I mean, you want to tell me Doc's overrated? Sure. Absolutely. But I do not think that Brad Stevens is the only coach on the planet who could get you past the Bucks, losing all three games in Milwaukee. I do not think that that was special. I do not think that was special coaching. Call me nuts, but going 0-3 in Milwaukee against a team who sucks, who has no coach, is just not that special. And then coming home and winning your home games? I'm sorry. I've seen a lot of NBA coaches do the exact same thing.
Yeah, look, and to me, Doc Rivers is sort of the perfect example to give. The year before Garnett got here, there were people in this building chanting, "Fire Doc." Then they made the trade, and they got Garnett and Allen and rebuilt their bench, and they won the championship.
And I still chanted, "Fire Doc."
Okay. But people were ready to build statues of the guy at that point.
Jim in Connecticut on Mookie Betts. Go, Jim. Hello, Jim. So what I say, this is my fault. When I leave people online too long, then they're just not ready to go when we come back. But Mary in Marshfield's always ready. Hi, Mary.
I am always ready to go, big time. I think what we're seeing is, be careful what you wish for. We wanted them to be fast, you know, quick, skilled. They are, but do they have enough strength to get through, you know, to the end? And my issue, and it's kind of like Garoppolo, I don't know if I'm going to be able to forgive the Bruins for giving up Colin Miller. And I know Brandon Carlo is a great young defenseman, but he doesn't have the strength and the big body like Colin Miller does. I was watching last night him being interviewed before the game. That kid is a stud. He's going to be a stud. He could be the guy that can fill Jarrett's shoes. What do you think, Mike?
I think Colin Miller, I wanted them to keep him. I told you, don't leave him exposed. You're going to regret it. There's too much upside with this player. He goes to Las Vegas. He plays over 21 minutes a night. He's a plus player. He's a plus player in the postseason. He's been a huge part of one of the best teams in the league, wire to wire. And he's fulfilling what he could be. And I thought it was ridiculous to hang on to 30-year-old defensemen when there's a 24, 25-year-old kid here that everyone acknowledges is younger, cheaper, and has a higher ceiling. And whether you're a Colin Miller fan or not, you have to acknowledge that if he puts it all together, he has more going for him than Adam McQuaid and Kevin Miller. And instead, they kept Kevin Miller. And I guess there was another way to do it where they could expose Ryan Spooner and keep Colin Miller. But either way, letting Colin Miller go for nothing in the expansion draft was a mistake. And you're seeing it. Because he fulfilled everything he could fulfill out in Las Vegas.
I mean, I don't think that's even debatable anymore.
He's been as good. Kevin Miller was great this year. Look,
it's not about Kevin Miller, though. Because, again, you just said you could have kept them both.
You could have done other things with your roster to make sure that you keep Colin Miller. There's other things you could have done. And you didn't. You were willing to let Colin Miller go exposed, and I thought you'd regret it, and I even regret it right now. I mean, I think he'd be another good young defenseman on your team.
I mean, he's +2 in the postseason, and he's got 2 power play goals. So, again, the +2 is obviously even strength reflection. The point is he's an asset to them in multiple areas.
He's not a liability defensively, he has not been. That's all I know.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.